Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. The very first words that should come forth from my lips here in the worship service should be thank you. Thank you so much for your love and your prayers and your support for these many years, praying for us on the mission field. I thank God for you. And the Lord has sustained me, especially in these last 2 years, through your prayers. Thank you so much. May you leave the service this morning encouraged. Let's go directly to the Word of God. Let's read verse 1, give a little bit of background, then I'll pray, and then I'll give an introduction to the message, and we'll go right into the message. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, 1 Kings 17:1, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Here's the background, the context of the text we're about to study. The main focus this morning is going to be from verse 2 and on. It is a time of spiritual declension, a time of separation from God, a parting from God in this time. Israel is far, far from doing God's will. The king's name is Ahab. His wife is Jezebel, leading the nation down the wrong path. The path of my will, not God's will. The servant's name is Elijah. He comes, he gives a message to the king. Not going to be any rain for as long as I say. No rain and no dew. A big drought. A long drought. It was to last 3.5 years. Then in verse 2, the lens of the camera of the Word of God focuses on just Elijah, God's prophet, God's son. We're going to see how God works in the life of Elijah. And it is going to be in this same way He's going to work in your life and in my life. Let's pray. Lord, as we open up the Bible, we open up our hearts to You. We ask that You teach us from Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you wanted to grow peaches or apples, how would you do that? What kind of apple would you use? The pruning, the fertilizing, the insecticide? When do you do what? If you wanted a bumper crop of apples. If you saw a young man, he had a lot of talent, or a young lady, and you thought they could be a professional athlete, how would you go about training them and preparing them for that? What trainer would you use? What weight program would you put them on? If you wanted to make and mold a very mature, godly believer, and you wanted to do that where they would become an effective tool in God's hands to glorify Him, how would you do that? Think about that task that God has with each one of us. Would you answer all of His prayers? Well, He might become confused and think He is the king. Would you answer none of His prayers? He or she might become discouraged and just give up. What prayers do you answer? When do you answer them? How many do you answer? It's not an easy thing to bring a person along to where they become molded day by day into the image of Jesus Christ, become mature, and be an instrument in God's hands to glorify Him. That's the goal. That's what God wants each of us to do. To glorify Him by knowing Him and then helping others to know Him. Missions is about God. It's not about man. It's about God. It's about getting to know God and then helping other people know God. The better you know Him, the better you can help other people know Him. If you don't know God, you can't help somebody know somebody that you don't know. So missions is about God, and we're all missionaries. Bucyrus, Peru, Argentina, or China. But we're all missionaries. Good ones or bad ones, or mediocre ones, but if we have been saved, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we are missionaries. We were put on the planet to glorify God. Now, how can we be a good one? How can you be a very good, effective instrument in God's hands? He's got a process. We're going to study it here, by studying, placing the magnifying glass over the life of Elijah and see how God did it in his life. And he'll do the same in yours. Ready? Here we go. Point number one, if I had a whiteboard, a chalkboard, or just a piece of paper, I would draw for you a circle. And in that circle, I would put 5 points. So point number one, which would be all, let's say, in the 12 o'clock position, is going to be the one word, instruction. The very first thing that God will do for you is He will give you instruction. So that comes from verses 2 and verse 3. Here's what God did with Elijah. Ready? Let's look at it. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So you see, the very first thing God did with Elijah, what was it? Instruction. He gave him some orders, some commands, told him what to do. Here's what I want you to do now. I want you to leave here. I want you to go eastward, and I want you to hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And that's over by Jordan. Now, God's word, His instruction always comes through God's word. God will give you instruction just like He did Elijah. And it will always come through God's word. Now, it's very simple. And you will understand it. Now, I'm not saying by that you're going to understand everything in the Bible. You won't. Not in a long lifetime. It will take us eternity to know all of God's word. But God will give you instruction that will come from His Word, only from His Word or through it. And it will be, when He gives you instruction for you, it will be simple and you'll understand it. There's nothing hard there in that instruction that God gave to Elijah. Elijah didn't have to get a dictionary out and say, let's see, now let's look this up. What's a brook? What's it mean to go eastward? It's very clear, very understandable. That's what it'll be for you. Now, instruction will come from different people at different times. It can be, you need to ask this person to forgive you. You've offended them. You need to forgive this person. They're asking you forgiveness. You need to tithe. You need to be faithful in God's house. You need to witness. You need to make some cookies for your neighbor and become interested in them. Try to build a friendship and bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Different instructions at different times. But it'll be clear, and it'll always be from God's Word. So point number one is what? Number one is instruction. That's what God's going to do for you. So He says, Elijah, go get thee hence, and dwell by the brook Cherith, go eastward, and that's over by the Jordan River. Point number two is promise. That comes from verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt dwell by the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He said to Elijah, this is what I want you to do. These are your orders. These are your instructions. They are commands. They're not recommendations. They're not suggestions. They're not good ideas. It's a command. God's word is authoritative. That's right. And then He gives him a promise. Now, you go over there, and you dwell by that brook Cherith, and here's what I'll do. I'll send ravens, and they'll take care of you. They will feed you and you'll drink water out of the brook. Because there's not going to be any water. It's going to be a serious, severe drought. That was God's promise with God's word. Or His instruction. So, if you go on the 12 o'clock side, up there is number one. And that's instruction. Then you drop down to, let's say about 3 o'clock. And you put over there an arrow leading to number two. That would be promise. God will give you a promise. Now, this is true not only here, but it's all throughout the Word of God. For example, I'm a missionary. It's just like missions emphasis. And we can't hardly think about missions without thinking about the Great Commission, which is given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, Acts 1:8. Now, it's given at the end of the other four books in the Bible, first four books in the New Testament. Usually, we think of the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20. Those last three verses. All power is given unto me, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's instructions. Those are orders. Those are commands. Where's the promise? And lo, I am... What? Can you remember that? And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Now, that's His promise. A great place to check it out is Philippians 4. But it's also in other places. He'll give you a command. This is what I want you to do. This and this and this and this. If you just keep reading, you'll find a promise. Why does He do that? He wants to motivate you. He wants to inspire you to obey Him. He didn't just throw out a command. All right, this is what I want you to do. Now, sometimes He does that. But most of the time, He'll give a motivation. He'll give an incentive. He will give a promise. And we do that with our children. You make your bed every day this week, and then on Saturday morning, I'll take you down to the park. You can go over and stay all night with Jennifer. We give a promise. We give a reward. Now, that's the way God does with us too. So, you got an instruction, and then you go to promise, and then you go, about 5 o'clock position, number 3. Then you get a obedience is the next one. It's kind of like God gives you a command, gives you a promise, and then He crosses His arms and waits for you to do your part, for me to do my part. So the third point is our part, obedience, the next verse. Verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now the great thing here is I have a good example for you. Elijah is a good example in this particular part of the Bible. He obeyed God. He didn't fiddle around. He didn't hang out for a while. He immediately went down and dwelt by the brook Cherith. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah wasn't like that. God told him, I want you to deliver a message for me, and I want you to do it in one of the most wicked and cruel cities there is on the planet, and that's over in Syria. And it would be over, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to tell the Ninevites this message. He didn't want to do that. So what did he do? Instead of going to Nineveh, he went in the opposite direction, got to Joppa, got on a ship in Joppa, and went to sea. Big storm threw him overboard. Large fish, big fish, God prepared, swallowed him up, took him to shore, vomited him up on the seashore. And God said, now, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh, and you're going to like it. Jonah wasn't obedient. He was disobedient. And God had to yank him around and head him in the right direction. This is not the case with Elijah. Elijah's super obedient. He did it immediately. Immediately did what God said. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he's over there by the brook Cherith. Okay. Now what would be the next point? Let's repeat. Number one is what? Instruction. And then you go to, be like a 3 o'clock position. That would be on the 3, you go from 12 to 3 to 5. Instruction, promise, obedience. And then over about 7 o'clock position, making a circle, would be the word blessing or provision. Now, the provision, I don't necessarily kind of like that because you might get the kind of an idea, we're talking about material, we're talking about financial blessing. Now, that's true, but it's not only limited to that. Now, let's read the verse. Our point comes from the next step, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. He was right where God told him to be. And he enjoyed, after his obedience, what did he enjoy? The blessing. Now, you do what God says. You go by the brook. And then God will do what He says. He'll bring the ravens and He'll feed you. And you'll drink of the water of the brook. It's very simple. The steps don't get out of order. They're always in order. There are no shortcuts. Instruction, promise, obedience follows. And then blessing. The blessings of God. Wonder how many blessings we miss by just fiddling around, not getting down by the brook where we're supposed to be, and disobeying. But he went and did it immediately. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. That's the way God works. Now, it would be... by the way, I want to say one more thing. Blessing, it can be more than material or financial. It can be the answer to a prayer. For a young person, the exact person God wants for your life, your mate for life. For others, it might be a tough decision you made to make in your business, or resolving a serious personal conflict in the family or outside the family, personal relationships and healing, or it can be physical healing. Are you not well? You spent the longest time in your life just waiting those 8 days for the results of the test to come back. It's benign. Now, God bless us in different areas in different life, in our lives. But then after that, instruction, promise, obedience, blessing. Now there's one more point and it's coming up. Oh, how it would be great to just be able to close our Bibles and then close in prayer. And we all go out. And, well, this is great. This is great. But I got one more point. And then we're going to talk about all the points. But the next point that's coming, it's not my point. It's going to come from God's Word. And I want to let you know ahead of time, this is the part you're just not going to like. You're not going to like what I'm going to have to say after this. I want to tell you ahead of time, it's disagreeable, it's distasteful. It's something that we don't like to think about or talk about, much less live. But it is very important because this is what God does. And this is how He makes His servants and molds them so that they know Him, so that they can glorify Him in getting others to know Him. This is how He molds and makes servants. This is how He did it for Elijah. This is how He'll do it for you. But the next part, it's not nice. It's nasty. It's just not nice. I would rather not give this point. But since it's not my message, it's God's, and it's very important that you know this and you know it ahead of time, and myself as well. It helps to know ahead of time. Oh, this is what God's doing. What is it? Now, for the fifth point, tell you what. I won't give it to you at first. I'll just read the Bible verse, and then I'll see if you can tell me what it is. Okay? Fair enough? Here we go. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. What's the next point? And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. You have an idea what the next word's going to be? What's the next point? Is a certain word coming into your mind? If one of these words is coming to your mind, now think with me about it. You pick a word. You got something in mind? Something like trials, testing, suffering, tribulation, anxiety or anguish or something like that. Did you choose a word like that? And the brook dried up. Now, here's the way God works. You've got instruction, promise, obedience, blessing, and then trial. Trials follow blessings. Blessings follow obedience. This is not our way. We don't think like that. This is the way God works. Example. Years before I went to Peru as a missionary, I was 30 when I went, so from 25 to 30, I pastored a church. From the age of 25 to 30, I pastored a church in Missouri. It was the church that I grew up in as a little boy. So those 5 years, well, some of the greatest years, I had the greatest people in the world, and now God's given me the greatest people in the world to be pastor of down in Peru. But anyway, I'm pastoring there in Missouri, and I not began to notice something that God did that marveled me, amazed me. I had to learn this. I'd have somebody in the congregation They'd make a decision, big decision, important, based on the Word of God by faith. They would say, okay, I'm going to obey. And they'd obey, what would happen? They would be blessed. God would greatly bless them. And then, all of a sudden, boom, a serious trial in their life. A serious one. Now, for others, it might not be serious. Depending on the age of the person, depending on the circumstances of the person. For one person, to lose $30,000 is not that big of a deal. For another person, that's you lost all you've got. And for one person, it's not that big of a deal to have a health problem. For another person to have a health problem added on to all the other health problems they got, it's devastating. Trials come in different ways, in different degrees. It's trial. I'm going, what are you doing, Lord? Did you know that they just made a big decision. They're obeying you. I mean, they paid a price. They're enjoying your blessing. And now you bring this in their life? Lord, she's obeying. This turkey over here, he's not doing anything. Give him the trial. Hammer him. Don't do it over here. Get this guy over here. He's not doing anything for God. And God would say to me, hey, Stan, back off. Just back off. Don't try to tell me how to be God. You're just the pastor. I know who to send my trials to, when to send them, and to what degree. And that's the way God works. And I saw him work that way over and over and over again. People who are obedient, enjoying God's blessing in a big trial. And I had to learn that. And you know, that's the way God's going to work in your life. Peter calls this, this is not the only place in the Bible it's taught. Peter calls this the fiery trial that is to try you. Especially in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 is a great one. Arm yourself with this thought. Know this is going to happen. Verse 12 says this is all for the part of the purifying process. What's God doing? He is molding you, getting you to know Him better so that you can help other people know Him better. And all that's going to glorify Him. So it's like a fiery trial, Peter says. It's like God takes you and He puts you in the oven. Shuts the door, goes over and turns on the thermostat and sets it at a certain temperature. And then He just waits and the heat starts kicking in and it's starting to smoke inside. And you're starting to beat from on the inside of the oven. You're beating on the door and at the glass and your nose is pressed against the glass. Let me out of here. You're going to kill me. It's hot in here. Something's burning and it's me. Let me out of here. Help. And God just doesn't move. And you're like beating on the glass and begging and saying, you're going to kill me. You're going to burn me up. I'm singeing. My tail's already burnt. Get me out of here. God didn't move. Until after a while, kind of gets quiet. You're just smoking. And God opens the door and you just kind of stumble out of the oven. And the smoke rises up and a spiral up in the air and you're coughing and gagging and saying, oh God, you almost killed me in there. You know what you did? I almost died. You were burning me. I was cooking. And God says, don't think we're quite done yet. And He takes you and throws you right back in the oven, shuts the door, and turns the temperature up a little bit hotter. And you're pounding on the glass, and it steams over. You wipe it over with your hands. You're pounding on the glass door. Let me out of here! And then after a while, your fingers pressed against the glass door, all steamed over. You just slide down. You can see the marks where your fingers just slide down through the steamy glass. And you slump down on the ground, on the bottom of the oven, just kind of simmering. And then God opens the door and you stumble out, smoking. You say, okay, Lord, I'll do anything you want. And God says, think we're coming along here. This cookie's coming right along. That's the way God works. They're called trials, testing, suffering. But now, if we close our Bibles and we all end right there and we say, okay, let's close in prayer and let's leave. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's real encouraging, isn't it? That's like, okay, let's all go out to trials. That's not going to encourage anybody. And that's not where the message ends. Because God never leaves you in a trial. He will take you through the trial, and He'll bring you out on the other side to more instruction. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through a circle or a cycle, and we're going to go back to instruction and promise and obedience and blessing, and then we're going to go back to trial again, and then instruction, promise, obedience, blessing, and another trial. Ready to see it? Let's see if we see it again. Verses 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is instruction. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. He won't leave you by the brook dried up. And by the way, Elijah was there because that's where God told him. He goes, what are you doing? I'm right here where you told me. You told me I was going to get water out of the brook. Now it's all dried up. What are you doing? And the brook dried up, but he didn't leave him there. And he said, now I want you to go over by Zarephath. That's in Zidon. And dwell there. That's the instruction. Here's the promise. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's the promise. Here's the obedience, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And now where's the blessing? Go down to verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And where's the testing? Verses 17 and 18. After they're enjoying God's provision, he and the widow and her son... Her son dies. She comes to him and she says, hey, Elijah, what in the world are you doing? What sin did I do in my youth that you're throwing it up to me now and God's bringing this into my life? Don't you know that I'm the widow that sustained you? God has used me to sustain you. Why is this happening? She's not very happy. This is a trial for Elijah. God says, give me your son. He takes him up to his room, prays, and God resurrects him from the dead. He was in a trial. Now, what's God going to do after the trial? Do you remember? What's the next thing He does? He brings you through the trial to what? It's the first point. Instruction, right? And then what's He going to do after instruction? Give you a promise. And then He's going to wait for you to obey. And then He'll bless. And then after the blessing, the trial. But He won't leave you in the trial. He'll bring you through and give you more instruction. Did he do that with Elijah again? Look at chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days, after the sun had been resurrected, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, here's the instruction. Go show thyself unto Ahab. Here's the promise. And I will send rain upon the earth. Here's the obedience. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. Do you see it? Do you see how you go through it? Now you might be saying, that's great. That's great for missionaries. That's great for prophets. That's great for a pastor. That's not for me. That's not true. Missionaries go through this and mechanics go through this. You're going to go through it. You've been going through this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him. You are a believer in Christ. You've been going through this. You're going through it now. And you're going to go through it in the future. Everybody here this morning is somewhere on that cycle. Some of us are in trials. Some of us are in blessings. Some of us are in obedience. Others, they're getting a promise from God this morning. We're all not in the same place in the cycle. And we don't stay at the same place in the cycle our entire life. We're moving through it. Now, you might say, prove it. I don't understand how this is for me. It seems to me like this is just for a missionary, a prophet. And not that a missionary is a prophet, but this is for somebody that's like, oh, a pastor. It's not for me. Okay, that's a fair enough question. Let's answer that. The widow goes through this. in chapter 17. Where is the widow when we first pick her up in this chapter? In what part of the cycle is the widow woman? Can you tell me? Anybody know in chapter 17 when Elijah comes to the widow lady, in what part of the cycle would she be? Instruction, promise, obedience, or blessing, or trial? What is she in? Trials. She's in a drought. She's carrying some sticks, and Elijah says, I'd like some water. She goes to get the water, and as she's going, and this is a big request because this is a drought. Water's the most precious commodity. Without saying a word, she goes to get the water, and then he turns and he says, now, I'd like a turkey sandwich. And that's when she says, as the Lord God liveth, this is all I got. I'm going to take these two sticks. I'm going to build a fire, and with the last little bit of meal that we've got left, I'm going to cook it, and I and my son are going to eat our last meal, then we're going to sit down and die. She's in a trial. Now, here's the cycle for her. Look in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. That's the instruction. This is like the Matthew 6:33 of the Old Testament. This is Matthew 6:33 in the New Testament says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of your needs. You put him first. And this is what he was doing with her. So he says, fear not. Just put me first. Now, it sounds like Elijah's selfish, but he's not. This is his word, God's word through Elijah. You put God first. Obey his word. Now, that's the promise. Here's the promise. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15, the obedience. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and the blessing. And she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, just like God said. And what follows blessing? Remember? What follows blessing? Trial. Her son died. And then God brought her through the trial, resurrected her son. This is the way widows go through this. You're going to go through it. There aren't any shortcuts. You can't accelerate the process. Have you ever had a trial and you say, man, I think I've been through this before. Didn't we have this like 3 years ago, 3 months ago, 13 years ago? We had this. That's because you're in the cycle. So you say, oh, I get it. You just go round and round the cycle. You just go round and round in circles. No. It might seem like that, but that's not what we're doing. It's not like you go round and round in circles and you never get anywhere. If you're a man, think of it like this. You're lifting weights. You pick up the barbells and you pull them up. One, two, three, as you do the reps, four. What are you doing? What are you building? You're not getting anywhere. Oh, yes, you are. You're becoming stronger and healthier. If you're a lady, think about it like running on a treadmill. You get on the treadmill, you set the dial so much time, so such and such a speed, and you get on, you start running. Where are you going? You're not getting anywhere. Oh, yes, you are. You're getting stronger. You're getting healthier. That's what you're doing, what God is doing with us in the cycle. We're not getting anywhere. Oh, yes, we are. We're getting stronger. We're becoming more effective. We're knowing God better every time you go through it. And the key is keep obeying. You break it when you disobey. You stop moving. When you obey and you keep going through it, and you get stronger and stronger in your faith to know God better, in order to glorify Him by helping others get to know Him. The better you know God, the better you can help others know Him. It's not like really a circle or a cycle. It's like an upward spiral. And you're getting closer to God and knowing Him better. How many of you have ever had the thought, I've had this thought. Have you had this thought? Isn't life great? It's awesome. It's awesome serving the Lord. It's just one blessing right after another. You ever had that thought? That's because When we think that way, where are we on the cycle? We're in blessing. That's where we are. How many of you have ever had this thought? I've had this thought. Life is tough. That's just one trial after another. That's just, you get one problem, you got three problems. You get two solved, you get four more. I'd just like to have one week when I didn't have problems. It's just one trial after another. Serving God, it's hard. It's a trial. You ever had that thought? Yeah. You know, when we think that way, where are we? We're in trials. The truth of the matter is, life's not all blessings. And life's not all trials. It's a beautiful mixture of both that God gives to us to bring us along to get to know Him. So, God is more interested in His glory than our comfort and our relief from pain. You mean God's not interested in my relief from pain? Oh, yes, He is. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying God doesn't care about your pain. He does. And He is not responsible for your pain. That comes from Satan and sin. God is more interested. What I am saying is God's more interested in His glory than our comfort and our relief from pain. Now, you know what? That's just some pain that never goes away. It doesn't go away. You go to bed, put your head on the pillow at night, and you're hurting. And you know as you're thinking in your thoughts tomorrow, it's going to be the same. And day after that, it's going to be the same. And 6 months from now, 6 years from now, 60 years from now, this is not going to, my circumstances are not going to change this side of heaven in eternity. You have to realize God gives you grace to bear the pain. He doesn't take it away, but to bear the pain to glorify Him. If you don't realize that and you think life's about you, if life's about me and my comfort and my relief from pain, I'm going to become one irritated, frustrated person. And why did you check? Why is that in this? I'm hurting. Why did you do this? You guys are going to really be irritated. Because life's not about me and it's not about you. It's about God and His glory. So, what I've got is, I've got just a few years on this planet hurling through outer space, and I'm a very little part of that big planet, but I'm put on the planet according to Revelation chapter 4 and according to Romans chapter 8, verse 36. I'm on the planet to glorify God. And I can glorify God in my pain and in my suffering and in my trials by His grace. He gives me grace to bear it so that I can glorify and magnify Him. Just in this, I just got this little bit of an opportunity. And then, boom, I'm in eternity. And then I'm going to be really comfortable, and I'm going to get real relief from pain. Won't be any for all of eternity. So you say, I just got this little bit of opportunity to glorify God. This is how God does it. This is how God does it. Now, would you turn to your Bibles to see if I can find the verse? Psalm 116. I'm going to close with this one verse here. Normally, I don't give this verse, but I'm going to give it to you. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 7. When my wife went to be with the Lord a little bit more than 2 years ago, that was a trial. That was, for me, of all the many times I've gone through the cycle, that was the hardest one. And I'm still, as I mentioned, there's just some pain never goes away. That's one of them. And there's many other types of pain that doesn't go away. That's not the only one. And I can remember having to tell my children, one by one, that their mother had died. And it broke their hearts one by one. That was not an easy day. And there's been many since. With all the grace of God, it's awesome. It's tremendous. I want to show you one more verse after this one. But I remember one day I was talking to Jessica, and she said to me, "This is my daughter that's going to be getting married next month." And she said, she told me she was on the telephone. When I called her on the telephone, she had her cell phone and she was driving. And as she's driving down the road with her cell phone, I didn't think about cell phones. I didn't think about that she was in her cell phone driving. If not, I would have just handled it so differently. I'd have said, "Well, just let me know how long will it take you to get to your house, and when you get, I'll call you back in about an hour when you're home." And then I would have told her. But I told her while she was driving, and she had the cell phone. She said, and she had my car that I used in my last furlough here, back in 2000. And it's a stick, 5-speed. She said, all the strength from my legs just went out from under me. They were like rubber. I just didn't have the strength to push the clutch and the brake. I was looking for a place to get off the road, couldn't find one. And I said, "Oh, Jess, I didn't know that. If I'd have known that, I'd have picked a better moment to tell you about your mom. I'm sorry. I didn't think about that." And then when she's down there in Peru for the funeral, I said, it was a Sunday morning, right after that I was going to preach. And my wife went to be with the Lord like this. Sunday morning, she was singing in the choir. Sunday night, she was practicing. The next day, she was singing in heaven. It was just like that. And so I said, "Look at this verse, Jess." And this is the one I showed her. Psalm 112, verse 7. This is great. Listen to this. I said to Jess, "Jess, look at this verse I just read this morning. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Jess, you don't have to worry about the phone call in the middle of the night. Me giving you another phone call with terrible news. We don't have to fear. Our heart is fixed in the Lord. He'll bring us through. Isn't that awesome, Jess? This is a great verse. Let me show you another one. And then I'll let you go this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. Appreciate your patience with me. And I'll close real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." The God of all grace. God's going to give you the grace you need every day for every trial. And He's the God of it all. God gives me grace. He'll give you the grace for whatever trial comes in your life. Trust me. I know. But even if I didn't know, it doesn't change the truth in the Word of God. God of all grace, who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, one day it's going to be glorious. We're going to be in eternal glory. Oh, just relief from pain, very comfortable, and glorifying God, relishing in the opportunities that we took advantage of in this short period of time. But here's what He says. "But the God of all grace, who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, guide you." This is how God is going to perfect you, make you, mold you, and make you into an instrument for Him, so that you can know Him and help others to know Him. You're in the cycle. It helps to know ahead of time. He won't leave you in trials. He'll bring you through. And then you'll become stronger each time you go through this cycle. May you be encouraged today. God has answered your prayers. And God is also working in your life in the same way He's working in mine. Just be obedient. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to, what? Trust and obey.